If you'll open your Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. If you take notes, I've entitled it Principles of Christmas. This is the third principle of Christmas, and I've entitled it The Missing Link, The Missing Link. Psalm 9:6, thus saith the Lord, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Before we look at our message this morning, let's pray and ask God to open it up to us. Father, we pray you would send your Spirit to walk amongst us, and we pray, God, if there's one listening today who knows not Christ as Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. We pray, Lord, that you would be glorified in the preaching of your word. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, that as we preach the word, to walk amongst us and speak to every heart here. Bring edification where edification is needed. Conviction where conviction is needed. Healing where healing is needed, Lord. Whatever is needed, we pray you would bring that to the individuals here. And through it all, again, we ask that you would glorify yourself. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. It would seem the title, The Missing Link, belongs in a science paper rather than in an Advent sermon. However, I think it's also fair to say, in his quest for knowledge, man has been searching for something they call the missing link. Something that ties him to something other than God. Mainstream science is looking for a link that will tie us to bacteria, sponges, monkeys, or some other vile thing. They're looking for that link. But the fact is, the only link that's ever been missing in this world, on this planet, is the link between man and God. When man was created in Genesis 1 and 2, there was no missing link because man and God were at peace with each other. Creation was filled with peace. It was filled with harmony and joy. There was no death. There was no sickness. There was no stress. And there was no sin. There was no missing link in Genesis 1 and 2. The world was so perfect that God would walk in the garden with his creation, with his children, and he fellowshipped with them. But there did come a day in Genesis 3 when man's sin separated him from God. A time when a chain of love that bound man with divinity was snapped. A time when Adam decided to replace God with himself. And the hole that sin created inside of man when his spirit died to God is the missing link that mankind has been searching for since the beginning of time. So you see, man's quest to find his animal origins, if you will, is just another misguided way of trying to reconnect to anything other than our Creator. The Apostle Paul explained it this way in Romans 1:21-23. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. You see, beloved, the missing link man is looking for isn't really about our relationship to bacteria. And it's not about our relationship to the animal world. The missing link has always been about our broken relationship with God. And man is so hostile to God, he won't recognize it. Romans 8:7, because the carnal man is hostile to God, the Bible says. And we know that's true, because the Bible testifies about the incredible ways man has been linked with God. In the Old Testament, it opens with man being made in the likeness of God. Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And the New Testament opens with God being made in the likeness of man. Philippians 2:5-7. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. So first, man was made in the likeness of God, and then God was made in the likeness of man. And if we carry that thought a step further, in the Old Testament, the sovereign God created man. Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. In the New Testament, man crucified the Creator. Acts 2:23, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. The point Scripture makes is very, very clear. For reasons that only God knows, it has pleased him to be intimately and irrevocably linked. He linked himself with mankind. And to put an exclamation point on that, God has never linked himself to any other creature. He's never linked himself to the elect angels. He's never linked himself to any of the lower creatures. He's only linked himself intimately and irrevocably to mankind. Period. Our text reminds us of that. Unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. And that is only one of many promises that divinity will take on flesh and humanity will take on divinity. And that promise was fulfilled a little over 2,000 years ago in a stable when the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Luke 2:7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothing and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them. You see, dear friends, Christ is the missing link that reconnects us to our origins. It's not about animals. It's not about evolution. It's about Christ being the link that man always has searched for to fill that empty space that he has in his heart. That's why he goes looking for animals to fill that void, or bacteria to fill that void, or comes up with all these crazy theories of how man came about. But in actuality, it's just the missing link. It's just the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not some half-animal, half-human creature, which, by the way, they claim that, you know, he came from monkeys. And I had a guy say that to me once. He said, you know, we all came from monkeys. I said, well, I guess that makes me a monkey's uncle. He didn't laugh, but it was okay. Man has been separated from God for thousands of years, but the birth of Christ and what he represents, what the birth of Christ represents, links us back to our original position with God. That's the missing link. Jesus declares that in John 14:6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And Paul backs that up in Ephesians 2:18 and 19. For through him, that is Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And I want to ask you, as you sit here this morning, don't you feel the difference in your life now that the missing link, you found the missing link, and you're linked back up with God? You don't worry if you come from a monkey or a sponge. The only thing you worry about, and you don't worry about it at all, you rejoice because you know that you're in Christ and he's in you. That's the link. And that's the link that's missing in the whole world today. All you have to do is look at the internet or television or read a paper, if they still do those things, and you see how bad the world is. And they're looking for something they'll never find outside of that stable in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago and the cross that stood at Calvary. That's where it's all happening. That's where it is. That's where the missing link is. That's where the fulfillment of life is. You know, I would also have you note that our text is more than just a prophecy. It's more than just a prophecy of the coming Messiah. In the divine words, in the inspired words, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, we see the humanity and the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And both of those things were necessary for salvation. He had to be divine and he had to be human. In theology, it's called the hypostatic union. One person with two natures. To begin with, it pleased our Heavenly Father to limit himself to the law he had given Israel. The birth of Christ had to do with the law given to Israel about a kinsman redeemer. Under that law in Leviticus 25:37, if a relative, for whatever reason, sells themselves to another, and they would do it because they were destitute, one of their blood relatives who has the means may redeem the one who was under bondage. You could pay for that person to come out of bondage because you're related to him. So for Jesus to have the legal right to redeem you and I from the bondage of sin that we were in, he had to first be related to us. He had to be a blood relative. And that requirement was fulfilled when the Virgin Mary gave birth to him in the stable. Jesus was the seed of the woman spoken of in Genesis 3:15. How do we know that's true? Because he was the only one who had the power to bruise the head of the serpent, Satan. No human being could have done that. Satan's powerful than any normal human being. So our Lord Jesus set aside his glory as God, and he took on the likeness of human flesh, Philippians 2:8. Paul describes this transference. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. You have to understand something. The manger in Bethlehem is directly connected to the cross at Golgotha. It's like up and down. You can't have one without the other. You wouldn't have one without the other. And I would add, that because Christ wasn't just a human child in the flesh, he also had a human nature. Hebrews 2:17, the writer writes, therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren, you and I, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiations for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he was able to aid those who were tempted. He was as human as you and I are. He experienced everything you and I experience as a human being, except sin. So when Isaiah prophesies that unto us a child is born, God is telling us that the child Jesus would be human in every way, except one. He would be born sinless. Matthew 1:18 declares that his father was the Holy Spirit. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was born sinless, and he remained sinless throughout his life. Proof verse for that. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. I told you before, if you want to know what that, if you want to get some vague idea of what that's like, go one day, you drive, right? Go one day and strictly obey the letter of the law when it comes to traffic. Come to a complete stop at a stop sign. Don't do a Hollywood stop. That's you roll through it. You slow down and you roll through it. Come to a complete stop, 3 seconds, and then move on. Do not go through a caution light. A caution light means caution. It's either red or green in absolute time. Stop. Go. Don't break the speed limit. Don't go under it. Don't go over it. Be exact in the speed limit. If it says go 35, don't go 32 or don't go 36. Go 35. If you're making a turn, go 100 feet. By law, go 100 feet from a left turn or a right turn and put your signal on. And do that all day long. And that'll give you just a snippet of what it must have been like to be sinless in a broken world. I tried that. When the Holy Spirit put that on my heart, I tried it. I failed. I like broke it like half a mile away from when I started. I went 202 is 35. I said I'll go 34. I broke the law. That's exactly what Christ had to live, how he had to live. Perfect in every sense. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul backs up the fact that Christ was sinless. For he says, "For he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ." In other words, in God's view, he looks at you, he sees the righteousness of his Son. It's a position that one day you will attain when you leave, when you're in glory. But while you're here, that position is still yours. It's sort of like if a king has a daughter, and she's a princess. And although she has no power as a princess, she's still the king's daughter and gets all the benefits of being the king's daughter. In Christ, you were not righteous, completely righteous, but you have that righteousness because you are the son or the daughter of the King of Kings. That's a wonderful distinction to understand and to accept and to claim, by the way. In the Christ child, all the requirements of the law to redeem us, all the requirements were met. Jesus was a blood relative of Mary. He was human in every respect. Those were the two. He knew hunger. He knew thirst. He knew anger. He knew joy. He knew pain. He was tempted. And when his ministry was over, like every human being, he gave up the ghost. Human. 100% human. So there can be no question that the Christ child was human in every single respect. That brings me, with that in mind, that brings me to the second part. Unto us a son is given. I want to just point out that word given. It gives the idea of a gift. And Jesus Christ was the gift that God gave the world. His people in the world, in every generation. In this section, we see the divinity of Christ. Under the law, you must not only be a blood relative, but they must have also the ability to pay the debt of their kin. To pay the debt of their kin. In other words, they needed, if a family member was belonged to somebody, they sold themselves to somebody, they had to have the money to pay that person, the will to do it, to get them back. Who was the son that was given in our text? Who was the son that was being prophesied about? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." That's who the Son was, the Son of God. Although he was human, he was the Son of Mary, he is our King, he is our Savior, he is always and always was and always will be the only begotten Son of the Father. And as the God-man, he had both the legal right and he had the divine power to redeem his elect from the race, from the fallen race of Adam. He had the power and he had the legal right to do it. Hebrews 2:14 and 15. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, likewise partook of the same things, through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. He had the legal right and he had the power to do it. And we see that power exercised throughout Scripture. For example, John the Baptist revealed the Messiah to his disciples in John 1:29 when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He's referring to you and I and everybody else. And at the Last Supper, Jesus told his disciples, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the many for the remission of their sins." Matthew 26:28. Paul told the church at Rome in Romans 5:9, "Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." He had the ability to do it. And Revelation 1:5 reminds us, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to whom who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." That's the power. And why? Because all sin is eternal. You're sinning against God when you sin. He is an eternal being. And when you sin against an eternal being, the penalty is eternal. And because Jesus Christ was both God and man, his blood was eternal. So when he died on that cross, God accepted that one death to cover all the sins, past, present, and future, of all of God's children. All of them. In every generation. Because he was God. He had the divine power to do that. And at the end of his life, the missing link between man and God would utter three holy words that summed up his humanity and his divinity. That was all summed up when he said, "It is finished." That wasn't the despairing cry of a helpless martyr or a victim. It wasn't an expression of satisfaction that now the suffering is over. And it wasn't the last gasp of a worn-out life. I'd have you note that the Bible says, he cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished." After everything he went through, after all of his passion, after the beatings, after the slappings, after the ridicule, after the robe being put on, a bloody back and then ripped off, after carrying a cross all the way up to Golgotha, he yelled with a loud voice, "It is finished." It was the divine Redeemer's declaration that all he came from heaven to do had been accomplished. Nothing else had to be done. It was finished. Everything necessary for putting away the sins of his people and providing them a perfect standing before God, everything was done. Finished. Everything necessary to secure eternal inheritance for them was achieved. Nothing was left wanting. Nothing. The costly ransom was given. The great conflict had been endured. Sin's wages had been paid. And divine justice had been satisfied. And after he committed his spirit to his Father, the missing link between fallen man and God was now in place. Now, people from every nation can celebrate, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The Christ child represents salvation for all of God's people in every generation. We have to remember that before anything could be done, to save us. God had to be related to us. That's the Christmas story. But the Christmas story ultimately leads to the Easter story and his death and resurrection. They go together. And it is those two high watermarks in Christendom that we celebrate. It is those high watermarks that give us the salvation that we have. You couldn't have salvation without his birth, and you couldn't have it without his death. They're linked. They are the missing link in all of mankind. 2 Peter 3:9 reminds us that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. Most people forget those two little words, towards us. His people, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the miracle of Christmas. God's willingness to send the Christ child to save wretched creatures like you and I. That is the Christmas story. In giving his son to the world, God provided mankind the missing link between sinful man and his creator. If you're listening to this, and you've been looking for the missing link all of your life, see me after the service and call me, and I'll show you how God, how Christ, the Christ child is that missing link that you've been looking for all your life. And if you incorporate that in your life by submitting your life to him, your life will change completely. As a matter of fact, you'll be a new creature. And being a new creature means that you no longer have to look for that missing link. It's been provided for you. For my brothers and sisters in Christ, we can go home rejoicing and celebrating because we found the missing link in our lives. The Christ child Jesus is the missing link. So let the world see all the promises that promises of Christmas that the missing link provides or has brought into your life. Let the world see that. Let them see unconditional love. Let them see unconditional love. That is loving without condition. Let them see it every day. Let them see joy no matter what's going on in your life. Let them see the joy that that missing link brings into your life. Let them see the peace you have under adverse circumstances. Let them see the peace that that missing link brings to your life. Let them see the hope that you always have in Christ. Let them see that missing link that fills your life. And lastly, spread the good news. Spread the good news that the Christ child Jesus is the missing link the world has been looking for. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That's the message all my brothers and sisters should take home this morning. You're blessed beyond measure because you have found the most important link you'll ever find in this world. Let's pray. Father, we know that you provide everything for us. You are the missing link in every factor of our life. And as long as we depend upon